بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وله أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. How's everybody doing? Alhamdulillah. So today inshallah we're taking a look at ayah number 3 in which Allah Ta'ala says بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم أيحسب الإنسان أن لن نجمع عظامه. Does man think or does the human being think that we will not assemble his bones? So the question here, the humza at the beginning, right, representing a question. What type of a question is this? It could be, a su'al listiqbah or littawbih. Basically, it could be a question to make something ugly. Like, are you kidding me? Like, this is what you think? It's as if Allah Ta'ala is saying, do you really think this? And it's like, it's criticizing. And of course, there are two different readings. It could be ayahsabu or ayahsibu. These are both meaning to calculate or to determine. So it's as if Allah Ta'ala is saying, is this the conclusion you've reached after your in-depth, thorough analysis? And again, this can be seen as a form of critique and sarcasm. That what exactly are you calculating about the future that you have no idea about? I've calculated that Allah's not going to resurrect us in the future. Oh, really? That's after your thorough calculations? Which calculations did you use to figure that out? How could you possibly know Allah Ta'ala's capabilities and Allah Ta'ala's future plan? This is so beyond your scope. So what exactly were you calculating, right? So even the term أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانِ seems to be obviously appropriate, subhanAllah. Furthermore, this is, in some scholars, like for example, Az-Zujaj, he says, rahimahullah, that this is جواب القسم. In other words, Allah Ta'ala swore by Judgment Day, and then swore by the guilt or reproaching soul, what? I swear this, I swear by this, I swear by this, I swear by this, what? What are you swearing, right? If you say, Wallahi, Tallahi, Billahi, I am innocent, let's say for example, right? There has to be jawab al-qasam. But this surah doesn't have one. لا أقسم بيوم القيامة ولا أقسم بالنفس اللوامة. Allah is swearing by Judgment Day and swearing by your reproaching self, and then there's no answer. Allah asks, أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَن لَن نَجْمَعَ عِظَامَهُ. Do you think? And so it could be the case that the answer, this is the jawab. And so this is the response to the oath. In other words, I'm swearing by Judgment Day, and I'm swearing by your reproaching soul that indeed you will be resurrected. And then the question is, okay, well, what's the correlation between all of this? Well, and especially the bones in particular. Well, because your bones are your core, right? It's the most core part of who and what you are. And in your core, you know that you've done something wrong, right? There's the core of your body and there's the core of your consciousness. And you don't advertise and tell everybody what you're feeling. You might feel guilty about something, but you bury it deep inside, right? You don't talk to anybody about it. Nobody knows. It's at the core of you, right? And so just as your bones will return together for Judgment Day, so too will your guilt be returned for Judgment Day. It won't be a reassembling of your external parts or your superficial looking body, for example, that gets returned on Judgment Day. No, you'll be completely resurrected down to the last detail. Even those most private inner thoughts and guilty feelings that you kept secret from others, even whatever you repressed from your own self or your own consciousness, all of that's going to be brought back. So it's down to your very core, your essence, like your bones. So subhanAllah, you can see how the visual of connecting Yawm al-Qiyamah and your guilt now down to your very bones and saying, I'm even going to get that part detail right. You can see how it all connects and Allah knows best. Another reading is أَلَّنْ تُجْمَعَ عِظَامُهُ. So it's a different reading. Instead of using the royal we, نَجْمَعَ عِظَامَهُ, it is using تُجْمَعَ, using the majhul, and then عِظَامُهُ would be marfu'. This is another reading, and Allah knows best. Now, what is the context of revelation for this particular ayah, the سَبَبُ النُّزُولِ? Well, mentioned in أَسْبَابِ النُّزُولِ by Al-Wahidi, نَزَلَتْ فِي عَدِي ibn Rabi'a, that عَدِي ibn Rabi'a, who was a disbeliever, it came down upon him. وَذَلِكَ أَنَّهُ أَتَى النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَقَالَ حَدِّثْنِي عَنْ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ مَتَى يَكُونُ وَكَيْفَ يَكُونُ أَمْرُهَا وَحَالُهَا. So he comes to the Prophet ﷺ and says, tell me about this judgment day of yours. He's not asking sincerely. He's just like, he wants to mock him. Oh, there's a judgment day coming, right? Tell me all about it. What's going to happen? Give me its details. فَأَخْبَرَهُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِذَلِكَ فَقَالَ. So the Prophet ﷺ told him all about it. Gave him a bunch of details. We don't get the details here, but the Prophet told him, probably, similar to the ayat that we're familiar with. What is his response? So Adi says in response, لو عينت ذلك اليوم لم أصدقك يا محمد ولم أؤمن به أو يجمع الله هذه العظام. So he says, even if I would see that day with my own eyes, I still wouldn't believe you, O Muhammad. and I wouldn't believe in it. In other words, even if I see what you're describing, I'll come up with something else. And then he says, or is it that Allah are going to gather these bones? Even these bones are going to come back. And so this is what Allah Ta'ala responds with. And to be perfectly honest with you, I find that this is a very common response in the sense that the atheist can always take refuge in the idea, even if they see the evidence, maybe I'm losing my mind, maybe I'm a schizophrenic, maybe I'm having a nervous breakdown, maybe I'm dreaming, maybe somebody slipped something into my drink, I'm having a hallucinogen, maybe aliens came and abducted me and are putting me through some sort of a, simulation, maybe this is all fake. There's always another explanation. To the person who is 100% dedicated to rejecting, they can always reject if they want to. That's the point. This idea of saying, why don't you prove it to me beyond a shadow of a doubt? Habibi, if you want to doubt, you'll doubt. That's the fact. If you want to doubt, you can doubt even if it's happening in front of you. Even if it's happening right in front of your eyes, you can still find a reason to doubt. And say, no, it's not real, it's not happening, no. So this idea of, I'll believe it, but the thing is, I'm a bit of a skeptical, I'm an open-minded person, I'm very critical and intelligent, and therefore I need to be given 100% certainty. I'm sorry, if you want 100%, that's actually impossible. Because even if you can physically touch it, and you see it, and you smell it, and you taste it, you can still say, maybe it's a dream. Maybe it's this, maybe it's that. There's always that possibility. So there's always going to be a certain level of choice, and it's going to be up to you. Anyway. Fascinating. They said, how could our bones be replaced? Little did they know, nowadays, modern technology teaches us, that bones get replaced every 10 years, the cells at least, by cell regeneration. Fascinating enough. So this idea that, you know, could God really regenerate my bones? Well, apparently Allah Ta'ala is already regenerating your bones, something that we've only learned about in modern technology. So here's a quick quote from ChatGPT for those who are interested. On average, bone remodeling takes about 7 to 10 years for your entire skeleton, but the rate of renewal can vary depending on age, bone density, and lifestyle factors. Bones are already renewing. How incredible that this is Allah's creation. It's also interesting to me that this particular surah repeats the word insan 6 times. You know, it's a short surah. And yet it mentions أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانِ twice, and it mentions insan many times, like the human, al-insan, mentioned 6 times in teaching us, and it's teaching us these very important lessons about human nature. Meanwhile, I do think it's also fascinating that the very next surah is called what? This is surah 75. What's surah 76? Surah al-insan. So it's just interesting that insan is mentioned here more frequently than usual, and then in surah al-insan, the word insan is only mentioned twice right at the beginning, as if it's continuing from the flow of the previous surah. A small observation, but still something that I thought was, you know, worthy of mention. Then Allah says, بَلَا قَادِرِينَ عَلَىٰ أَن نُسَوِّيَ بَنَانَهُ. Rather, we are able even to proportion his fingertips. So بَلَا is called حَرْفُ الْإِضْرَابِ. Harf al-idrab is something that when there was a statement made earlier and you want to say no to it and then confirm the next thing. So in other words, saying no to that, but yes to the following thing. And so that's bala. So it's denying what's before it and confirming after it. So they're saying, لَن نَجْمَعْ عِظَامًا. Our bones are never going to be reassembled. Bala qadirin. Yes, indeed Allah Ta'ala is fully able. So you're wrong about that, but the truth is that Allah is fully able to do so. So you would expect the word qadirun. Marfu', why is it mansub? And wallahu alam, it seems that there's something mahdhuf. There are different opinions. Some say bala kunna qadirin, or bala falyahsabna qadirin. In other words, we are indeed have always been able, or no, rather, you should, instead of be thinking that we can't assemble your bones, you should be calculating and thinking that we can absolutely, because obviously Allah did it the first time. So it would be, it's obvious that He can do so. So that's wallahu ta'ala a'lam why it is mansub. There's different opinions, but this seems to be pretty straightforward. And it's interesting that Allah didn't say nahnu qadirin or inna qadirin, just says qadirin. So instead of saying we are able, Allah just says able, fully able. So it's a more short terminology, it's more abrupt and more powerful to give that punch. Bala qadirin, of course able. In other words, of course Allah Ta'ala is fully capable of doing so. How dare you suggest otherwise? قَادِرِينَ عَلَىٰ أَن نُسَوِّيَ بَنَانَ, that we can reassemble his banan. What are banan? أصابع, they are fingers. Why use that term? Well, first of all, why fingers, right? If we were talking about the bones in general, why would Allah Ta'ala say, I can reassemble even your fingers? So Some scholars say the fingers represent the adhkar, right? You're making adhkar. So we can reassemble every little deed that you did, even the finest, smallest thing going, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah. So that's one opinion. Another one is, you're asking, can I reassemble the big bones? I can even reassemble the finest, smallest bones, you know, in your fingertips. So obviously the bigger ones would be even easier. That's another perspective. We all know how much we depend upon our hands, how much we use our hands, and how beautifully they have been placed together, the joints in such a way where we can grip and grab and move so quickly without even thinking, right? Somebody throws something at you, you can catch it. You didn't even think about the details of how to reflexively use those muscles. And so the creation and the design is not just something that we benefit from, because obviously we benefit from all sorts of muscles operating right now. Digestive system is working, but you don't see it happening, right? It's not as obvious, but the hand, every time you're manipulating something, you're literally staring at your own hands do their work and thinking, subhanAllah, how amazing. It's just a thought and it's sent to do exactly what I want, and I can get so fine and detailed that, subhanAllah, people can be so professional. And so it's really a beautiful ni'mah of Allah Ta'ala. Of course, modern day technology, people always point to the fact that Allah is saying, look at your fingertips, how they are for your identification, right? How amazing it is that obviously forensic scientists and so forth, the police, they get fingerprints off of, whatever, and they say, we can prove that you were in this room based on your fingertip, based on your fingerprints. So in other words, Allah Ta'ala 1400 years ago was saying, we're gonna bring you back specific to every detail, even the detail that is 100% uniquely yours, which is your finger, your fingerprint. So this, wallahu ta'ala a'lam, is one of those isharat, one of those little indications that Allah Ta'ala is showing us and remarking on a knowledge that was previously unknown. And Allah knows best. So that's really beautiful. However, there's another perspective as well, which is that the word banana means fingertips, but they specifically mean yani al-atraf, your extensions. Just the same way the word ibn. Your ibn is your son because your child extends out of you, right? You're gonna die, you're gonna get old and die, and then my lineage is my extension is my ibn. Same thing, my fingers extend out of me, they're my banan. So they're from the same root letters, basically, is the point. And so it's as if Allah Ta'ala isn't just saying, I'll bring you back, I'll even bring back what extended out from you, which combines a reference to when you combine it with the reference to the hands, we know hands always represent your deeds, right? You know, what you did with your bi'aydikum, what you did with your own hands. So this is as if to say, Allah is saying, I'm not just going to bring back your bones, like your physical body. I'm going to bring back your, not just your detailed extremities, like your fingers, not just your identification, your print, but in addition to that, whatever your hands did and whatever causes and effects had happened as a result, right? Because we all know you do certain actions and then that causes a domino effect, right? I did something with my hands, I did certain deeds, and then certain things play out afterwards. Allah Ta'ala is saying, al-atraf, yani, banana, as in your extension. Everything that you did and all of the dominoes afterwards, all the way till the yawm al-qiyamah. All that, I'm gonna bring it all back so you can be judged according to it. Wallahu Ta'ala a'lam bis-sawab. So the wording is very particular and very powerful. Then Allah says what? Bal yuridul insanu liyafjura amama. SubhanAllah, this is ayah number 5. And this ayah really seems to be, I mean, when you combine it with the beginning, which we'll talk about in a second, this seems to be really one of the highlights, or one of the main themes, I should say, of the surah. Why do I say that? Because now it's really getting to the crux of the issue. Allah Ta'ala is saying, you do all these different, let me translate it first before I go too far. بَلْ يُرِيدُ الْإِنسَانُ لِيَفْجُرَ أَمَامَ But man desires to continue in sin. بَلْ So you know, or rather, yuridul insan, that a human being wants, li, to do what? Yafjura, fujur. He wants to do fujur. Amamahu, directly in front of him. So this is really interesting. Why? Because the word fajr yafjuru means to pour out. This is why, for example, a fujur could be like with water, like you break a dam and the water pours out. That could be a type of fujur. Or, for example, at fajr time, right? Fajr, same root letters. The sun comes up and then there's this flood of light. Right? SubhanAllah, you know how it is when you're at night and you just have a flashlight and you think, man, I could light up a little bit, but then if I turn it, everything goes dark. It's just so selective, right? Then you think to yourself, how much light is coming from the sun that everything is completely bright? It is a flood of light, right? So that's what fujur implies, just this flooding of something, right? And so the fajr is the one who is so openly proud of sinning that they like to flood openly, show everybody. You know, I got to post this online. I have to show the world what I did. I have to do evil publicly. It's not enough that I make a fool of myself privately. I need the world to see this. It needs to be on, you know, social media platforms and so on and so forth. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, no, the problem is what? The human being wants to openly sin, boldly, rebelliously sin, and do evils that are right in front of him. What is this implying? Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. But, and it could be the case that this is a question. Rather, man desires that he denies what is right in front of him, like it's a, you know, or that he does this evil that's right in front of him. So it could be this sort of question, but that seems to be a weaker opinion. Now, amamahu implies what? It's not talking about a literal location, like literally right in front of him. It is talking about what? This figurative concept of what is right in front of his eyes. And this is in reference to what? This is in reference to impulsiveness. And this is the point that I want to get at. Impulsiveness seems to be a major theme of this surah. Allah Ta'ala is addressing human impulsiveness. In fact, Ibn Abbas, he comments about this verse and says, يُعَجِّلُ الْمَعْصِيَةَ وَيُسَوِّفُ التَّوْبَةَ. That this, the human being, his nature is to what? To prioritize sin and to procrastinate repentance. This is the problem. You are saying, I doubt if there's a judgment day. I have my doubts about judgment day. No. Allah Ta'ala is saying, you don't think I see inside of your heart? I know you down to your core. I know you down to your bones. I know you down to your deepest, most personal, shameful, blameworthy, guilty conscience. I know everything about you. And when you say, I have my doubts about Judgment Day, this is what I calculated based on my scientific research, get over yourself. At the end of the day, you just want to do whatever you want to do. I know. Allah Ta'ala is saying, I know you, oh human being. I know your heart. You just want to be impulsive. You just want to chase whatever's right in front of you. Oh, that looks, you guys know when you get to the cashier at the checkout, and they always have, you know, chocolate bars, chips, sweet this, sugary that, gum, right? Why? Because they want you to make that last second, after you went to buy your bread, milk, and eggs at the back of the store, they always put it at the back, right? So you have to walk and pass everything. When you're finally just about to leave, just make one impulsive buy. Now, alhamdulillah, growing up my whole life with this, I finally developed a tolerance that I don't do that. But now I'm raising my kids, and you can imagine when I'm outnumbered and the kids are all, bah, 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 I want this, right? And I'm like, subhanAllah, like, don't you get it? They put this flashy stuff here. Why? Because they want you to impulsively buy. This is the goal, right? So this is the evil of you know, just that last minute sale. You know, I just want you to grab it. I don't care if it's expensive. I just want it because it's right in front of me. Amamahu, right? So we really need to be very cautious about the dangers of impulsiveness. In fact, the most successful people are those who have delayed gratification. Those who can say, I want something here and now, but I can take a pause on that and work on what is going to give me benefit in the future. And that's what Judgment Day is all about. And so, there's a few nice quotes. You don't have to be great to start, but you have to start to be great. It's a nice quote. You don't have to be great to start, but you have to start to be great. In other words, get started on your main goals. Stop being impulsive. Stop jumping after every little cute, fun thing, little entertainment on the phone. Drop that for a second and get started on your real work, and that's what's going to make you great, inshallah. Another nice quote is, distractions are the enemy of excellence, right? لِيَفْجُرُوا amama, just distractions. Oh, that's in front of me. Oh, that's in front of me. I want to look up this. Oh, impulsively that, right? Distractions are the enemy of excellence. And another one, a nice quote is what? Don't give up what you want most for what you want now. I thought that one was really good. Don't give up what you want most for what you want now. What you want most are your true goals. What you want now are your distractions. So you have to know the difference. What do I want most? What do I want now? And I need to learn to say no to my impulses and drop what I want now for what I want most, my highest ideals, inshallah. So yes, this ayah is referring to impulsiveness. Humans see something right in front of them, then can't think of anything else. The whole world becomes that one thing, and they pour themselves towards it without considering the consequences. And that's why they deny Judgment Day, not because of their hisab or calculating that some sort of calculation that brought them to that conclusion. A guilty conscience takes time to take effect, so the impulsive person acts before he can doubt his decision. Isn't that true? Why are you impulsive? Why? I want it, I'll jump after it. Why? Because you know that if you take time to think about it, then your nafs al-lawama is going to kick in. So this is a really, really beautiful, and please pay attention to this because I thought this was quite powerful. How do you resist your impulsive nature? If you have impulses, how do you resist it? You can either be looking forward or looking backward. Looking forward to what? Looking forward to your future most important goals. Let's say you're sitting at your house and you should do your homework. But you know it's a big goal of yours to get that degree and get that, you know, job that you want. You have this big goal in mind. So you're about to play some game on your phone, but you say, you know what? I have bigger goals than this. I'm not going to jump into distractions. I'll put that away and focus on the big picture, right? That's looking forward. And that's how you drop impulsiveness by having, if you don't have any goals in life, you'll always jump after your impulses. People that jump after their impulses, they don't have a purpose in life. They have no greater goals. But you have to make your goals very serious, very real in your mind, and then inshallah, it'll be easier looking forward. So that's number one. And obviously, the biggest thing that we look forward to in terms of our greatest goal is what? Being secure on Judgment Day. So now we're seeing how this ayah relates to La uqsimu bi yawm al-qiyamah. The second way that you can fight your impulses is by what? Looking backwards. Looking and remembering your past failures. Remember all the times that you failed. You wasted your day, you wasted your night. Why? Because of some sort of distraction that caused you to push away your objective further and further away. Why? Because the distractions sucked you in. You remember all those times. You remember the times that you were distracted, and then what do? You remember the guilt that you felt. You remember the guilt that you felt. Man, I felt guilty. I spent that whole day playing video games. I knew I had an exam, but I failed that exam. Why? Because I wasted my time. Remember those moments. Remember those instances. So now you have وَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالنَّفْسِ اللَّوَّامَةِ. So you can see how the two oaths at the beginning are saying, you human being, you need to remember your greatest goal in the future judgment day and remember all the times you failed and the guilt that you felt afterwards. Why? So that this impulsive nature of yours that is making you do all sorts of evil, you can get it under some sort of control. وَاللَّهُ تَعَلَىٰ أَعْلَمُ. This seems to be the correlation between all of it. And subhanAllah, yeah, you don't want to keep falling for those same old pitfalls. Last ayah that we're going to cover for today is يَسْأَلُ أَيَّانَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. He asks, when is this judgment day? When is this day of resurrection? يَسْأَلُ, the human being asks, أَيَّان. أَيَّان is a reference to, is a combination. أَيَّان, اسمُ استفهامٍ عن الزمان. الزمان البعيد. So you're asking when, but it's like, when is that? It's like, when? Like, when is that possibly going to happen? Something way deep in the future. If it was when, like in the short-term sense, you'd use the word meta. Meta, when? You know, when are you coming over? Meta. Meta ta'ti ila bayti. When are you coming to my house, right? But if you're using ayana, it's like, when in the long future? And لِأَنَّ أَصْلَهَا أَنْ أَنَا كَذَا. You know, that is going to happen, or that will, when that time comes. So in other words, it's something further away. So the point is that this person is asking sarcastically, when is this judgment day so far in the future? And the idea is what? He's impulsive. He cares about what's in front of him now. So when he's thinking, judgment day is going to be in so long, I don't care. I'm going to focus on the here and now. I'm going to have fun here and now. And then when judgment day comes, then I'll deal with it. But as of this moment, I want to have fun with this. I want to jump and do that. I just want to be impulsive here and now. So this is the thinking of the human being, and this is why they are so in denial. Yes. Now, what type of a question is this? It could be su'alun tahakkumi. It could be a sarcastic question. In other words, this person is asking a question to mock. Oh yeah, when is this judgment day? Ha ha ha, it's so funny. And by the way, if somebody asks such a rude and belittling question, there's a nice quote that says, judge a man by his questions rather than his answers. And I think that really speaks a lot. What type of questions you ask say a lot about you. When you ask sarcastically like this, it shows what type of intellect you have. Point number two is the question is Allah Ta'ala expressing frustration with the disbelievers. As if to say, they have the audacity to ask, when is judgment day? يَسْأَلُ أَيَّانَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. He's asking this? How dare you? How dare you? The question is audacious. It's offensive. Why? Because this knowledge is only to Allah. So who are you to ask? Number one, death can come at any moment. Point number two, what difference does it make? Oh, judgment day is in 10,000 years. Really? You're going to get hit by a bus tomorrow. La samaha Allah, inshallah, Allah protect you. But you get my point. It doesn't make a difference. What type of question is this? It's nonsense, right? So technically, resurrection, the technical date of resurrection is irrelevant to the person who's going to die or who has already died. It's going to show up. And anyway, if it's coming, and it's going to be the biggest event in all of human history, then it doesn't matter if it's sooner or later. What difference does it make? It's the biggest event. You should be getting ready for it now. That's the point. And so, what's interesting here is that after you've called out the sin, and you've told the sinner, you've called him out and really exposed the truth, and shown that he has no idea, you know, oh, I don't believe that Allah can resurrect bones. You have no idea. Allah can resurrect even the smallest of bones. Fine, he admits, okay, maybe I don't have these doubts. So now he switches to his next stage. Well, when is it? Right? Fine. Maybe there's a judgment day. I can't say. I said I don't believe in it. Maybe it's happening. Fine. But when? Right? So after you called out the sinner and you got him to admit that his denial is not based on any sort of conviction, nor is it rational in thought, but derived entirely from his desire to be impulsive, the very next verse is quoting the sinner's question, which is what? Okay, fine. There's probably some kind of retribution, but when? How much time do you think I have before I can take this whole meeting with God thing very seriously? How sad. We know people like this. You meet them all the time. Oh, I should be religious? Yeah, maybe at the end of my life. I should read some sort of religious book and make istighfar? Yeah, sure, at the end of my life, but not now. So this attitude is very prevalent. And since we're finishing right here, inshallah, the final point that I want to mention is that these first six ayat seem to be in a ring structure. Allah, this is the first section of the surah that we just finished, the first six ayat. The next portion is about judgment day. It's a whole different conversation. The point is, or it's describing judgment day. So let's take a look at these six ayat. The first ayat is what? La uqsimu bi yawm al-qiyamah. Right? I swear by judgment day, essentially. And the sixth ayah is what? Yas'alu ayyana yawm al-qiyamah. They're asking, when is judgment day? So you see the word yawm al-qiyamah is in both of them, right? One is Allah's perspective, and the other is the disbeliever's perspective. Allah's perspective is, it's happening. I swear to you by judgment day. The disbeliever's perspective is, when is it? Right? So you see both perspectives. Then, number two and number five, right, if we're getting closer. Number two is, wala uqsimu bin nafsil lawama, which is what? And Allah is swearing by your guilty conscience, right? And that's Allah's perspective. I swear to you, I can see your guilty conscience. I know when you feel bad. I can see deep within you, and I know you know that there is objective morality and that what you're doing is wrong, so forth. Ayah number five, بَلْ يُرِيدُ الْإِنسَانُ لِيَفْجُرَ أَمَامَهُ. What are you guilty about? The fact is, I just want to be impulsive. And this is now, so the first, number two is Allah's perspective. Now you have the disbeliever's perspective, which is what? I just want to be impulsive. Now, Allah says, yeah, but you have something inside of you that's blaming you, right? Yeah, but I still just want to be impulsive. I want to drown out my guilty conscience by quickly going to the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing, keeping me distracted so I never feel bad. So you have Allah's perspective and the human's perspective regarding what's going on internally. I have a guilty conscience, but I also have my impulses. Okay, and then three and four are what? Again, the disbeliever's perspective is what? That I doubt. أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَلَّا نَجْمَعَ عِظَامَهُ. Is it really the case that Allah's, does a human being doubt or calculate that we, or excuse me, does a human being calculate that we won't assemble his bones? So this is the human being's perspective, saying, I don't think there is a judgment day. And then Allah's perspective is what? بَلَا قَادِرِينَ عَلَىٰ أَن نُسَوِيَ بَنَانَا. No, absolutely. We will be able to assemble his bones, even the most finest bones, even the smallest ones, even the smallest details will be assembled. So you see, obviously, the connection between 3 and 4. So yes, 1 and 6, 2 and 5, 3 and 4, you can see a beautiful ring structure in the first section of the surah. And all of them have Allah's perspective, the human's perspective. Allah's perspective, the human's perspective. So subhanAllah, it is quite remarkable in the way it is designed. May Allah Ta'ala make us of those who are constantly appreciating and being mesmerized by the arguments and the style and the beauty and the eloquence of Allah's word. Barakallahu feekum. Thank you for being patient. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.